Imagine spending like 12 years mastering your craft. You know, you've built this thriving consultancy from scratch. You know your industry inside and out.
Right, and your clients trust you completely.
Exactly. They trust you implicitly. And then during just a routine catch-up, a client casually mentions that they've started using this new AI tool to generate the exact same strategic reports that you provide.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What used to take you 3 days now takes me, I mean, maybe 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's a gut punch.
It really is. And for Marcus, this 53-year-old marketing consultant we're going to talk about today, that realization didn't just cause like annoyance or frustration.
Right.
When he finally sat alone at his desk that night and typed his very first prompt into ChatGPT, his hands were literally trembling.
Wow.
Literally trembling.
Literally. So welcome to today's deep dive. Today we are digging into a really fascinating book called Thrive, Finding Your Entrepreneur's Edge in the Age of AI, by Stephen C. Whitner.
It is such a timely read. It really is. And our mission today is for you, like the solopreneur, the founder, the small business owner who feels like you're just drowning in, 17 open browser tabs of new tools right
I
now.
think we've all been there.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to decode the core premise of this book, which is that the greatest advantage you have in the age of AI actually isn't artificial intelligence at all.
Right.
It's emotional intelligence. And here's where it gets really interesting. The barrier preventing most entrepreneurs from effectively adopting AI is almost never technical. It's like entirely emotional.
Yeah, and that is the central paradox of this entire technological shift, really.
Right.
As artificial intelligence automates all these cognitive routine tasks that, used to consume all our working hours, our deeply human emotional skills are suddenly becoming scarce.
Yeah.
And in any market, whatever is scarce becomes incredibly valuable.
Right, exactly.
But before you can strategically implement a single AI tool to capture that value, Goodner argues you have to map your inner
Your
landscape.
inner landscape.
Right, you have to look at the actual psychological mechanics of how this transition is making you feel.
Which I guess brings us right back to Marcus and his trembling hands.
Exactly.
We really need to dissect why AI anxiety feels fundamentally different from the stress of, say, moving your business to the cloud or, adapting to social media.
Yeah, because those older technologies, they just changed how we accessed information or maybe how we distributed marketing.
Right. It was a distribution thing.
Exactly. But AI is encroaching on entirely different territory. It actually augments human cognition.
It's doing the thinking.
Right. It processes, it synthesizes, it generates original ideas. It's mimicking the very thing that knowledge workers are paid for, which is thinking.
Yeah, and because it steps onto that cognitive turf, it triggers a deeply visceral psychological response called identity threat.
Yes, identity threat.
So Marcus's physical reaction wasn't about like the software's user interface being confusing.
No, not at all.
It was like a mirror reflecting an existential question. Like, if a machine can instantly replicate what I spent a decade mastering, what does that mean about my worth?
Exactly. And so many entrepreneurs, they fuse their personal identity with their professional capability.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So when a technology threatens that capability, your brain doesn't just process it as a business challenge.
Yeah.
The amygdala actually processes it as a threat to your literal survival.
Okay, but let me push back on that just a little bit, though.
Sure.
Isn't some of this resistance just a necessary, healthy BS detector?
How do you mean?
Well, as business owners, we have all been burned by the latest overhyped software, right? The stuff that promised to revolutionize our workflow and just ended up being a massive, expensive distraction.
Oh, absolutely.
So when someone tells me I need to adopt like 10 new AI tools by Friday or I'm going to become obsolete,
Okay.
my instinct isn't necessarily an identity crisis, it's skepticism.
Right.
I look at AI right now like hiring a brilliant but completely erratic young prodigy.
I love that analogy.
Like, you're thrilled they can process data that fast, but you don't fully trust them to talk to your clients yet.
Yeah, and skepticism is a requirement for any good CEO, right?
Right.
But what's fascinating here is the mechanism of how we use that skepticism as a shield.
A shield, like to hide behind.
Exactly. The danger happens when an unexamined fear of obsolescence masquerades as like strategic patience or due diligence.
Ah. You tell yourself you're just waiting for the market to settle.
Right. You say, oh, I'm just researching. But in reality, you're avoiding the vulnerability of having to be a beginner again.
Oh, wow. That hits hard.
It does. Goodner shares this really profound moment from the book where a mother who runs her own agency is watching her teenage daughter effortlessly use an AI tool for a school project.
Okay.
And the teenager wasn't intimidated at all. She just saw a faster way to finish her homework.
Right, because kids don't have that baggage.
Exactly. And the mother realized in that split second that her own hesitancy at work wasn't about the data privacy of the tool or the accuracy of the output.
What was it about?
It was entirely about what the technology meant regarding her own relevance in the marketplace.
Wow.
Yeah. And the moment she untangled her self-worth from her technical skill set, all that resistance just vanished.
So if the root cause of our paralysis is this internal identity threat, then watching another like 3-hour YouTube tutorial on advanced prompt engineering is completely useless.
Completely useless.
Because you're trying to solve an emotional problem with technical data.
Exactly.
Which means the only actual filter we can use to navigate this landscape is self-awareness.
Yes. And if you think self-awareness sounds a bit too soft for like a hard-nosed business strategy.
I mean, some people definitely will.
Right. But the data Goodner presents is staggering. He cites this massive 2021 meta-analysis from the Strategic Entrepreneurship Journal.
Okay.
They analyzed over 65,000 entrepreneurs.
That's huge.
It's massive. And the researchers found that emotional intelligence, or EQ, explained 89.1% of the variance in entrepreneurial success.
Wait, 89.1%.
Yep.
And what about regular IQ?
General mental ability, raw IQ, explained just 10.9%.
Hold on. So almost 90% of business success comes down to EQ.
That's what the data says.
If I'm listening to this right now, I'm wondering, you know, how does that massive number translate to my actual bottom line when I'm dealing with AI?
Well, think about the mechanics of running a business. IQ is what builds the product or understands the raw code, right?
Sure.
But EQ is what allows you to read a client's hesitation or, you know, pivot a failing strategy without your ego getting in the way.
All right.
And crucially, it's what helps you manage your own internal panic when a new technology disrupts your industry.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. And without that high EQ self-awareness, entrepreneurs tend to fall into two very expensive AI traps.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is tool chasing. This is purely reactive adoption driven by FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Oh, like when you see a competitor post about some new automated video generator.
Exactly. And suddenly you're spending 3 days trying to integrate it into a business model that doesn't even rely on video.
Just because you feel like you have to.
Right.
And the second trap the book outlines is mimicry.
Yeah, right? Yes.
This is when you try to run someone else's operational playbook on your own psychological hardware.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, say you're a high-touch consultant. Your entire brand equity is built on deep, nuanced relationships.
Yeah.
But then you read an article about how some software startup automated 90% of their customer service emails. So you try to do the same thing.
Right, which is a disaster.
It's not just inefficient. It actively sabotages the core value proposition of your business. You're paying a massive cost just to feel like you're keeping up.
Precisely. And this is why Goodner introduces the concept of the success pathway.
The success pathway.
Yeah, your success pathway is the specific intersection of your behavioral wiring, your emotional intelligence, and your motivational drivers.
Wow.
When you understand your own pathway, you stop treating AI as a mandate to change who you are. Instead, you ruthlessly filter AI tools. And you select only the ones that amplify your natural strengths.
I feel like it's the difference between using a generic AI playbook, which is like wearing someone else's prescription glasses.
Oh, a tooth.
Like, it might help them see perfectly, but it's just going to give you a massive headache.
Exactly. It's the airplane oxygen mask principle. You have to address your own inner landscape before you can lead a team or serve your customers.
Right. But to find that pathway, Goodner says we have to cultivate something called growth readiness.
Yes, growth readiness.
And this is where I get a little stuck, I'll be honest.
Okay, why is that?
Well, if my gut is screaming no because I'm terrified of making a mistake that costs me clients,
yeah.
How is growth readiness different from just reckless impulsivity? Like, if I act while I'm terrified, aren't I just prone to making expensive, unforced errors?
That is a really crucial distinction. Growth readiness is not about blinding yourself to risk or ignoring your gut. Not at all.
Okay.
It's the psychological capacity to decouple fear from action.
Decouple fear from action.
Yeah. It's acknowledging that very real knot in your stomach, assessing the actual business risk, not the ego risk, and then acting alongside the fear.
I see.
Reckless impulsivity would be adopting a tool across your whole company on a Friday afternoon without testing it.
Right, which is a nightmare.
Total nightmare. Growth readiness is feeling the anxiety, admitting you don't know how it works, and quietly testing it on a single, low-stakes internal project first.
Got it. So it's about localized, controlled experiments.
Exactly.
That makes practical sense. But understanding your own wiring and running safe experiments is only half the battle.
Right.
Because if you deploy an AI tool that fits your personal workflow perfectly, but it completely alienates the person paying the invoice, you've still failed.
Absolutely.
So how do we translate this internal self-awareness out into the external market? Like, how do we use AI without destroying client trust?
Well, this is where we see the economic shift I mentioned earlier, right? The rise of the human connection premium.
The human connection premium.
Yes. As AI handles more of the routine, cognitive heavy lifting, the internet is just becoming flooded with perfectly competent, grammatically correct, but utterly soulless content.
Oh, we've all seen those emails.
Right. And because automated interaction is becoming ubiquitous, authentic human presence is becoming incredibly rare.
And scarcity dictates value.
Exactly. Goodner actually points to a PwC survey showing that 82% of consumers want more human interaction in the future, not less.
Wow. 82% want more.
Yeah. Think about it from the client's perspective. When the digital world gets louder and increasingly automated, your customers crave the friction of genuine understanding.
They want to be heard.
They want to know there is a breathing, empathetic human taking responsibility for the outcome of their project.
But practically speaking, I mean, this creates a major tension for the business owner.
How so?
Well, I want the efficiency of AI, but I don't want my clients feeling like they're talking to a bot. If I use ChatGPT to help structure a strategy brief or draft a complex email, am I deceiving my client? Like, what is the boundary line between leveraging a tool and losing my authenticity?
The book provides a very clear, hard boundary for this.
Okay.
Your thinking and your voice must remain yours.
Your thinking and your voice.
Right. AI is an exceptional tool for accelerating the articulation of your ideas or formatting raw data, but it cannot outsource your underlying judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Goodner illustrates this beautifully with the story of Grace.
Oh, yeah. Grace's story is great. Let's dig into what she actually did, because the mechanics of her workflow are really fascinating.
Yeah.
Because she didn't use AI to write automated replies to her high-ticket clients.
No, not at all.
Instead, she used it to handle 80% of her Monday morning administrative prep.
Right.
She would feed the AI anonymized data from past projects, have it summarize industry news relevant to her clients, and use it to anticipate potential roadblocks for the week.
Yeah, and by offloading the cognitive drain of information gathering and formatting, her raw efficiency went up 30%.
That's a huge gain.
It is. But the real ROI wasn't just the save time.
Right.
Because she wasn't completely depleted by administrative busy work before 10 a.m., she showed up to her actual client calls with a massive surplus of emotional bandwidth.
She was just way more present.
Incredibly present. She could read the room, pick up on subtle hesitations, ask deeper questions. Her clients felt significantly more heard, not less, because she used AI to buy back her empathy.
That is just the perfect counterintuitive insight. She literally used a machine to become more human.
Exactly.
But for the listener trying to map this to their own week, right, how do you know exactly when to automate a process and when you need to show up as a fully present human?
Yeah.
Because we can't all just guess our way through client interaction.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture that Goodner lays out, it's really about reading the emotional stakes of the interactions.
The emotional stakes.
Right. You must always default to full human presence during high-stakes decisions, emotionally charged moments, the beginnings of a new relationship, and any trust-building interactions.
Because a machine cannot build trust.
Exactly. It can only process information.
So if you're negotiating a scope change, or a client is expressing frustration about a missed deadline, there is zero automation.
Zero.
You don't send a perfectly generated AI summary of the project timeline. You pick up the phone.
Precisely. You pick up the phone. But on the flip side, what about routine scheduling?
Yeah.
Simple status updates. Information intake forms.
Automate those.
Automate them ruthlessly. Your customers do not want a 20-minute conversation just to book a consultation time.
No, they want efficiency.
They want efficiency for routine tasks just as much as you do. The core EQ skill is having the situational empathy to discern which of those two scenarios you're currently in.
Okay, so we've mapped the inner landscape. We've filtered the tools through our success pathway, and we understand the economics of the human connection premium. But here is the gritty reality of the AI revolution, right? It changes daily.
Oh, constantly.
Just when you build a workflow that perfectly balances automation and human touch, a massive new software update drops and just resets the board.
Yep.
How do you sustain this level of adaptation over months and years without completely burning out?
Sustaining that pace requires redefining two words that get thrown around a lot in business: agility and resilience.
Okay.
Goodner argues that agility isn't just about moving fast. It's about taking advantage of opportunity with aligned speed.
Aligned speed.
Right. Moving fast in the wrong direction just means you hit the wall harder.
Oh, I've been there.
We all have. Mm. And resilience isn't about toughing it out or grinding through exhaustion. It's about becoming a renewable entrepreneur.
I really want to emphasize this concept because it completely dismantles that toxic hustle culture narrative.
It really does.
True resilience isn't having a bottomless gas tank that you force yourself to run on empty.
Yeah.
It's engineering a business model that recharges its own battery while it operates. And the mechanism Goodner provides for this is the EQFIT approach.
Right. EQFIT stands for Emotional Intelligence Fitness. It's a continuous conditioning loop. Assess, equip, align, succeed.
Assess, equip, align, succeed.
Exactly. You don't just do this once. It's a daily practice of protecting four specific internal resources: your time, your energy, your focus, and your effort.
Okay, let's make this highly actionable for the listener. Walk me through the first habit of this fitness routine.
Sure.
When a new tool drops and the panic sets in, what is the immediate protocol?
The first habit is the 24-hour pathway filter.
24 hours.
Right. When a new AI capability is announced and your entire LinkedIn feed is screaming that you're falling behind, you enforce a hard 24-hour pause.
No signing up.
You do not sign up. You do not integrate it. During that window, you ask three filtering questions.
Okay, what are they?
Does this align with my natural cognitive wiring? Will implementing this free up my energy, or will learning it create a massive new cognitive drain?
Oh, that's a good one.
And most importantly, does this protect or degrade the human connection my business relies on?
Wow. That pause alone kills the FOMO cycle.
It really does.
But the second habit is even more analytical. It's the four resource audit.
Yes.
Walk me through this. Say it's 5 p.m. on a Thursday. I'm exhausted. What am I actually doing for this audit?
Well, it takes less than 2 minutes. You look at your day and you rate those four tanks: time, energy, focus, and effort.
Okay.
And you categorize them as either renewing, stable, or depleting.
Renewing, stable, or depleting.
Right. Let's say you used a new AI tool to draft all your marketing copy today. It saved you 3 hours, so your time resource is renewing.
Awesome.
But if wrestling with the AI prompts was incredibly frustrating and left you completely scatterbrained for your afternoon client calls.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, your energy and focus are deeply in the depleting column.
Which means the tool isn't actually a net positive for the business.
Exactly. This raises an important question, which Goodner calls the misalignment tax.
The misalignment tax.
Right. You might have saved time, but what did that depleted energy cost you in terms of client retention or missed strategic insights?
Wow.
If your audit consistently shows depleting scores, you are paying a massive misalignment tax that will eventually show up in your bottom line revenue.
To patch those leaks and stop paying that tax, the book suggests a third habit: a non-negotiable renewal practice.
Yes.
You literally have to engineer your week to counterbalance the tasks that drain your specific tanks.
Exactly.
There's a great example in the book of an entrepreneur who implemented what he called Will's Wednesdays.
Oh, I love that example.
Yeah. He realized that constant client interaction depleted his deep focus tank.
Hmm.
So he took every Wednesday as a midweek recovery day.
Right.
No calls, no AI integrations, just deep, uninterrupted creative work to maintain his peak cognitive function.
And, you know, if taking a full day off isn't realistic for where your business is right now, it's about microstructuring.
Microstructuring.
Yeah. It's intentionally sandwiching the draining administrative tasks between the high-touch creative work that actually energizes you.
Right.
It's about stacking small, aligned actions based on real-time data from your daily audits. Over time, those tiny shifts in how you manage your internal resources create sustainable, massive momentum outward.
It's incredible to realize that the definitive playbook for surviving the most rapid technological advancement in human history is, like, at its core, an exercise in deep psychological self-mastery.
It really is.
We have covered immense ground today. Mm-hmm. I mean, we started by looking under the hood of AI anxiety, unpacking the mechanics of identity threat and why this technology feels so existential.
Right.
We learned how to use emotional intelligence as a ruthlessly practical filter against tool chasing and mimicry.
And we also mapped how to deploy that internal clarity outward.
Yeah.
By understanding the economics of the human connection premium, you can use AI to automate the routine while hoarding your energy for the high-stakes, trust-building moments that clients are increasingly desperate for.
And finally, we broke down the mechanics of the renewable entrepreneur. Protecting your time, energy, focus, and effort through the daily EQ ad audits, so you aren't just surviving the AI wave, but actually using it to recharge your own business engine.
Absolutely. The capabilities of artificial intelligence are just going to continue to accelerate. There's no finish line to cross.
Nope.
But when your internal operating system is mapped, understood, and aligned, it provides an unshakable foundation to evaluate any external shift in the market.
I want to leave you with a final thought to sit with today, inspired by Goodner's perspective. We spend a tremendous amount of our mental energy worrying about what AI is going to do to our industries, our workflows, and our bottom lines.
Right.
But what if the real gift of the AI revolution isn't what the technology can do for your business? What if the real profound gift is what this immense pressure forces you to discover about yourself?
I love that.
In a marketplace where machines can generate flawless content, analyze complex data sets, and automate entire operational workflows in milliseconds, the only true, sustainable, competitive advantage you have left is the one thing no algorithm can ever train on.
Yeah.
The courage to be exactly who you are and to bring that profound humanity to the people you serve.
Perfectly said.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Do yourself a favor tonight. Take 2 minutes, sit down, and run that 4-resource audit. Check the levels on your time, energy, focus, and effort. We will see you next time as we continue to explore the ideas, the mechanics, and the insights that shape our world. Keep navigating those waves.